Welcome to the Sensuality Empowerment Show. I am your host, Sharon Hoffman. I am a trained and certified sex, love, and relationship coach. My mission is to empower people to come back to self-love, connection, and exquisite pleasure by embodying their creativity and sexuality. This show is an opportunity to dive deep into all my favorite topics around sex, love, relationships, spirituality, mindfulness, and so much more. Subjects that some of you might find taboo, shameful, or just too embarrassing to talk about. I have the absolute pleasure to interview guests from all over the world, bringing their nuggets of wisdom and insights so you feel empowered, inspired, and supported. Hello, beautiful. Welcome back to the show. Today's interview is one that I have wanted to do for a very long time, so it really excites me to bring this incredibly rich interview to you today. About a year ago, I had the pleasure to connect with a powerhouse spiritual goddess, a woman who has been incredibly instrumental in my life. Sandra, who I call Sam, is my coach, psychic guide, and healer. Sam helped me to come back to equilibrium and reconnect to myself on a deeper and spiritual level. You know that feeling of stuckness, can't seem to break free from old patterns, limiting beliefs, or step into your light? Or perhaps you can't shake that dark cloud over your head, or you feel there's some bad energy field around you, like a bad spirit, or you feel cursed. Or maybe you need some direction in life, someone that can help you pave the way. Well, this is where Sam comes into the picture. Working with a wide range of clients, from A-list celebrities and corporate leaders to sensitives like me, healers and light workers, Sam embodies the ability to give clear guidance and make life-changing transformations through the quantum field. She has a mainstream background in psychology and counseling, but she was born with a gift. This gift enabled her to explore life with curiosity and channel her energy and healing abilities through her work, which is an integrated healing modality. She is a spiritual alchemist, referred to as a mystic, shaman, or psychic. In this conversation, Sam shares how she was born seeing spirits and the support came from her spirits. She also shares how she would get attacked by bad spirits and energy forces when she tried to do energy clearing or confront bad demons. This was so interesting to hear. She read tarot cards from the age of 14 and always knew that her connection with other dimensions, the spirit world, and her healing gift was going to be a way to serve others, to shine her love and light to those who found their way to her, helping people to come back to self-love, balance, and harmony. We go deep into her work, from quantum fields of energetics, playing with spirit guides, reading energy and tarot cards, to walking the path of a conscious leader. It's very obvious that Sam has a genuine love for people. I am truly grateful that she is in my life, and you will hear why. So without further ado, let me introduce you to the mystic goddess herself. Welcome to the show, beautiful woman.
Hi, my darling. It's lovely to be here and really good to connect with you.
It's so lovely to connect with you and connecting in a different way today. I know this has been a long time coming for us. We've spoken about doing this episode for a very long time. So it's good to have the be on the other side of this, so to speak.
It does make a change. And I was a slightly worried that I'd start asking you questions later. So if I start to do that and cross the boundaries, just let me know.
Okay. All right. So for the, obviously the listeners are going to be curious to know, who is this lady? So I'll let you do the intro. Can you give us a bit of an overview to who you are?
Ah, that's always such a challenging question. I will start with my work. You know, I've been doing my work for over 30 years now, which encompasses an integration of psychology, psychotherapy, metaphysics, and quantum therapy and theory. My work is very much about empowerment of others. And I do that through various methods, depending on the individual, I guess. Many people call me a spiritual teacher. I'm not really. I like to feel that I am consciously aware, and that enables me to really sit with somebody and hear them and see them in a way that enables them to more fully know themselves in that moment. Really, that's my work, empowerment of other.
Yeah. And you are a very special woman because your modality is one of many. Like, you cannot pigeonhole you into something. If someone asked me what kind of work you do, I couldn't really, it's really hard for me to actually come back with an answer to that. Like, for me, you are my coach in many ways. I've been working with you for over a year now, I think, or almost a year. And you've been incredibly instrumental in my life, guiding me to come back to myself, the self-empowerment, but also, you've guided me to shift energetically. You have helped me to remove some of the burdens that I've been carrying, shift a lot of blocks that I've had spiritually, physically, emotionally, come back to a lot of balance and harmony in my body. Mm. Yeah, so it's hard to describe you.
Well, thank you for saying what you've said. This is the challenge. It's challenging to describe what I actually do, because there's so much within my work, and it's very much about the individual. Yet each individual, we're part of this human collective, aren't we? So we all have parts of ourselves that reflect each other. But our experiences of life, of the world, of ourselves, of events, are very personal. So I really feel my biggest gift is to see people and to hear them. And what I find is that so many people don't realize that they're actually holding their own answers, but yet not trusting themselves necessarily to articulate those answers and really live by and through who they already are and what they actually are intuiting and knowing for themselves. So for my work, even though I do facilitate removing blocks and limitations and old traumas from others, my work is very much about getting people to trust themselves. And we've been so conditioned away from trusting ourselves that even when we intuitively absolutely know an answer, we question it. And that often leads people to, asking friends, asking the therapist, Googling the problem, when actually always people know. So I don't ever have clients that I You know, if, say, for instance, I'm doing a reading, a tarot reading, a psychic reading. I see myself really as an oracle as opposed to being psychic, because an oracle is a guide. But when I do that kind of work, I never, ever encounter anybody who doesn't already know the answer and will say, oh, you're just confirming what I was thinking last week or last night, or, oh, I was thinking of that path, but I wasn't sure. There's always the answer there. So I see myself very much in my work as really facilitating that answer to arise, and then the trust, more than anything, the trust to arise within a person.
Yeah.
Because that's so, so important.
How did you know this was your purpose, Sam? Like, how did you know this was going to be your path in life?
Oh, that's there's a question. Well, I was born seeing. I was born seeing spirit. I had a lot of visitations when I was younger. I came from a fairly abusive background, which many people would recognize if they come from that background, that we have a tendency to become hyper alert. And that hyper alertness also has a tendency to lead us to breaking through the veils that this world is encased in. So I saw through the veils from a very early age. A lot of my support came from spirit. So that was the beginning. And then as I aged, I realized through other people telling me that people listened to what I said, or that I had insight into who they were. I didn't even know this was part of who I was. And when we have something that's part of who we are, it takes other people sometimes to recognize that, because we don't see it. So I had people saying, oh, you know, you changed my life. And I changed people's lives, apparently, by being myself. And I realized also a great love for people. I wanted, partly because of my background, I wanted to understand how we develop and how experiences affect our development, and hence how we live our lives. So I studied psychology. I went back into metaphysics at a very early age. I was reading the tarot from the age of 15.
Wow.
You know, that really, it's been a part of my life forever, I guess. I've always sought out, as a child, I sought out solitude and nature. And as I said, I talked to spirits. So as that developed, my love of service, actually, because service to other is also service to self. I'm not a selfless person, but my love of service to other, my love of seeing the change in people, my love of sharing another person's heart, what's truly in their heart, grew and grew exponentially. So I kind of always knew. And now I realize also that in many ways my work is kind of a necessity somehow to also keep my connection with the other worlds somehow, when I mean other dimensions and intuitions and the spirit and my own higher self.
And how do you do that? Like, how do you stay connected in the other dimensions and take yourself there? Because I know for many of us, we use plant medicine or, you know, shamanic ways to help us go to a different dimension or tap into that way of connecting to the consciousness. How do you do it, Sam?
Well, I've done that too.
Okay.
I used LSD at a very young age, which actually recollected me to some of the things I already knew, the worlds that I really do. I have nothing against plant medicines and things. I really feel that they have a place. for myself, I'm very aware that there isn't any place to go, that we're already it. Mm. And because I am hypersensitive, partly because of my work, so I've kind of trained myself in that way, I'm very aware when there's a change in atmosphere, or whether when there's a change in a dynamic that's happening around me. And I also see, so those, how can I explain? I mean, I've seen portals appear in midair and beings come out of them. I've seen walls disappear that when I've been totally straight, not on anything.
Wow.
And there's always a reminder to me that this life is so much more than we perceive, or that we've been trained not to perceive, is more to the point, actually. Humanity's been trained not to perceive the dimensions that mm-hmm. we're living in. On a simplistic level, we do already live in different frequencies of dimension, and we, you know, the fact that we have a physical body which vibrates at a certain frequency of energy, the fact that we have emotions which are another vibration, thoughts which are our other, all of this is multidimensional living. It's whether we choose to explain it in that way. And when we do explain it in that way, life becomes quite amazing, because we start to see that we are so much more than we believe we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for myself, when I did the ayahuasca, for instance, it was such a world that I already knew, actually. Intensified, of course. Yeah. Mm. But it was something I recognized. There was a deep knowing and a deep recognition, because I see some of these things on, you know, throughout my life, I've seen these things. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And to be honest, darling, if we constantly live in that state of heightened awareness, you know, that real state of heightened awareness, it would be challenging to function. So we need to recognize when it is necessary to, say, channel into other dimensions, and when it's necessary to have our feet firmly anchored in the here and now. It's very important.
It's such a gift that you have, and I can imagine the curiosity of having this gift for you. But have you found it to work against you as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's also good for me to do my work, because when I'm speaking with clients, it's a good reminder when I'm teaching others techniques to quieten down the over empathy, you know.
Yes.
So many of us are empathic, and which is a wonderful gift, but it's, you know, it can become overwhelming. So yes, there have been times when the empathy that I feel for humanity, for others, for this earth, has become overwhelming, and that's not really useful unless there's a possibility to turn that into a higher frequency. And by higher frequency, I mean, you know, a place of maybe non-judgment or acceptance, of love of other. But yes, sometimes there have been times where, you know, certain places in Bali, for instance, that during the end of my time there, I had to make diversions from certain villages, because the pain that I felt, and my partner at the time would actually even wind up the window and hold my hand as we went through certain places.
Oh, okay.
I was going to weep. That weeping, however, for me, I feel is a release for whoever and whatever I'm feeling. I don't take it personally. So yes, it can be a pain in the ass. Airports. We all, any empath knows about airports. Yeah. Where we're feeling okay and we get in there and we know the stress and the panic isn't actually ours.
Yes.
That collective tense energy that we feel. And yeah. I think that the difference is that those of us who are conscious can actually calm ourselves a bit better, because we realize that it's that build-up of anxious energy in there and authoritarianism and everything else that goes with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it's, I mean, there are some things that have happened over the years that I don't talk about very often, because many people, I guess, find it unbelievable or distressing. But part of my work is removing demonic energies and entities from people. And because I spent such a lot of work, years doing this, and even wrote a program on it, helping people, I had many attacks from, one could say.
Oh my God! So what happens when you have these attacks?
Well, it's not very pleasant. It's pretty terrifying, actually, until you get to the point where you realize that these things are attracted to your light, or they're pissed off because you've removed them from someone. So what happens is, I've literally had beings hit me physically, try and throttle me. I've had attacks that have taken over my mind almost, where I've needed to contact colleagues to join forces with me to get back to normal. There's that kind of thing. And wow. I believe these attacks are happening all over the place to many human beings, but they may not recognize it in the way that I do. I get very physically attacked by things. Not anymore, actually. It's been very quiet this past year, thank God.
Now, you lived in Bali for a long time. So how long were you, how long?
I was in Indonesia 11 years. 9 years of that was in Bali. I was in Jakarta and Borneo and Bali. Then I settled in Bali. It was really a gift that I went there. I was offered something there, and I went not realizing that I would totally fall in love with the land and the people and the ceremony, really, the sacredness that's brought into life every single day. So I was, 9 years in Bali, and I worked in Bali. Everything opened up for me in a way that was really profound, because my work opened up, people came, my sensory abilities heightened, everything flowed for a long, long time. But part of the Indonesian way is, or Asian way actually, is very much connected to this continuum of dark and light. In the West, we separate these things, don't we? We judge it. That's why I call it density. Density as opposed to dark and light. I learned in Indonesia that life is seen as this continuum of experience, and therefore their healers, their mangku, as they're called, don't perceive dark and light in the way that we're taught in the Western world. They perceive it all as being a part of experience. It's not judged in the same way. And that was extremely useful for me, because we do live in this world of duality. We do have a tendency to judge others and ourselves as good or bad. But actually, yes, some things are more pleasant than others. that the judgment itself keeps us locked into that battle, if you like, of the light and the dark. And so for me, when I had these attacks, when, and they were very strong in Bali, even when I came to Ibiza for a year or so, they were strong here. When I had these attacks, it brought me to learning that there is only a battle if I make it a battle. So I stopped making it a battle.
Yeah, that's so interesting to say that. It's for me, I when you say that, I think, oh, I just come back to that self-compassion, you know, that bringing that compassion back to oneself, and it just changes the charge.
Yes. Yes. It is coming to that place of acceptance, and this is very, very challenging for all of us as human beings, because we all make judgments. It's just the way it is. We meet people and there's instant judgment there, whether it's clothes that they're wearing or the way they look or the way, you know, it doesn't matter, does it? We still make judgments, which is part of our, I feel it to an extent, those kind of instant feelings that we have are necessary. It's part of our safety mechanisms, I guess, the reptilian brain and all that. But you're right, we need to come to that place of compassion. And this is something I've also learned through my work, and it also helps me in my personal life, is when I am with somebody, or even a group, because I teach and do workshops, but let's put it on the personal level, one-to-one. I realized one day that I genuinely love that person, you know, in that moment. There isn't a judgment. There isn't, there's analysis, of course there is, because that's part of my work, and there's intuition, because that's part of my work. But the main bones of this, actually, the real bones, is the love. And it surprised me when I realized that. That was a few years ago. There's very few people that I have sessions with that I haven't loved in that moment.
That's so beautiful.
I can't say thank you, Sally. It's how it is. I mean, for me, you know me, how I work. I'm pretty down to earth. That's how I span these dimensions and bring it into here, is because I'm pretty anchored in this world. I'm quite analytical. I have a mainstream psychological background. So for me, it was a bit woo-woo out there when I realized that I actually felt love. I thought, oh, how am I going to tell people that? So I didn't tell people for a while. I just let myself love that person there in the moment. It's, having said that, it wouldn't necessarily mean I would love that person on a personal basis socially.
Yeah And I feel your love when I work with you, and for that I'm so grateful.
I do love you, and when I have individuals such as yourself who are truly conscious and aware, It's a real blessing for me, because my work is really easily accomplished, because we're working together. It's not me doing anything, actually. It's you. It's the person I'm working with. So when I'm with someone like yourself, it makes it so much easier, because we can speak the language. We can go into with an open heart. We can act and trust, and full trust and knowing that it's more than a safe space, it's an expansive space, but we make that together, you see. It's beautiful to be working with someone like yourself.
Thank you,
you're welcome, my darling, and thank you, because it's a pleasure. And the other part of this is when we open to that connection and that love in that moment, there's a space that's created that allows the reflection of somebody to see their own reflection, actually, in love. And And that is what's so important, because it's so rare that any of us love ourselves or accept ourselves, let alone love it, ourselves.
Yeah. I've definitely moved into a new place with myself, as I shared with you earlier, and that was, really focusing on self-love and coming to this place that I feel at the moment, and that is I feel so peaceful and grounded within myself and so sure of myself, and I haven't felt like this for a very, very long time.
Yeah. It's so beautiful to hear you say that, because that experience, in this moment, that's, what we were talking about before, is the emergence of the self,
Yes.
With my work, it's very much about that, and that's what you're talking about now. It's being really connected with who you are in this moment, who you have become in this moment, being comfortable with that, trusting that process. And, from that place, everything will flow, because you would be in alignment with what is necessary to come into your life. Then
Bring it on.
Exactly.
I'm so ready. I want to ask you, I want to talk about the sort of people that are, I suppose, that you track, that you work with. Do you find that you are attracting a lot of women or men, or do you work with both? Is it like anyone that is kind of drawn to and resonates to your work? Or, I would love to talk about that. I would love for you to share that.
Okay. I have my clientele spans the globe. So I work internationally, which, thank goodness for technology.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I do work with so many different cultures. Obviously, people have to speak English, because I don't fluently speak Russian and things like that. So that's one thing. I work mainly with women, but not only women. I have quite a few male clients. So this work is not gender specific, really. All, and it's not culturally specific either, although I can, because I've worked with so many different cultures, I'm able to adjust myself to understanding. So if I'm working with someone who is Muslim, which I have and I do, there's a deep understanding also of where they're coming from. I don't go in there as if they, my Muslim clients come from a Western framework, because they don't. However, I also work with couples, actually. Yes. I do a lot of couples mediation. But what I would say is common to all is a state of consciousness or a willingness to raise their level of self-awareness. That is what I would say would be common to absolutely all of my clients, no matter what culture, no matter what gender or sexuality or anything. That is what is common to all. And I would say that many of my clients are empathic. Many of them are sensitive intuitives. Mm-hmm. And I work with people who own mines and gold mines and things, to the people who actually dig them and do the oil, not all the, with their things that they do. I have corporate clients, and I have yoga teachers. I have other people who also, colleagues who come to me when they want sessions. So I don't really, I can't really box it, but that is really what is common. People come, they really want to know who they are. Mm-hmm. They really want to help this world, usually. I would say that most of my clients are very environmentally aware, regardless of whether they own mines or mine in them, by the way. They're pretty much aware. Most of them seek to get on with humanity.
Yeah.
I very rarely now, well, I can't remember the last time I've had anybody have a session with me who is aggressive, for instance. I did in the past. I don't have any of that going on.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose the technique or the process or the system that you use, I mean, yeah, it is very unique. Like, I would love for the listeners to get hear a bit of understanding or a bit of a feel to what they would expect if they had a session with you.
Well, it depends what they come with.
That's very true.
Yeah, I would say that most people actually come with relationship things or business or work and health. I think that children on occasion, I think those are the main areas that we, you know, they're the huge areas that we have in life, aren't they? So what would a person expect? For a first session, it would be very much around we can go two ways here. Some people will come for a reading for a first session, mm-hmm. and through reading, I pick up intuitively what's happening for that person. I would discuss with them, ask questions they can answer. They might ask me questions. And for a first session, it would be very much about gaining some insight into the territory that they're in at the time, as in their psychological, emotional, and physical place, you know. I would want insight into their personal map of reality, really. So in a first session, I love to hear what people have to say. Mm. So during a session also, I'm very much feeling somebody. So I can feel people's pain sometimes physically. I might ask them, you know, do you get backache? And from that, it's possible even over, the internet, in the ethers, to remove people's physical pain.
Yeah.
And also emotional traumas that have happened. We'd start to work through what's going on with a person that might be clouding them in this moment, whether it's relationship, money, work, whatever, old traumas, all of this.
Yeah.
So we worked, first of all, on uncovering and gaining insight and then uncovering what's happening to somebody. And then starting to lift the stuckness, basically, the density that's happening with someone. So the stuckness could be anxiety.
Mm.
It could be heartache. It could be stress. And that's very much felt in the body, actually. So usually I would ask somebody to identify what's happening. Feeling wise, emotionally, where is that stuckness being felt or that heaviness being felt? And then it's possible to actually shift that. I do that working within the quantum field. And I say the quantum field, I work consciously in the quantum field. We're all living in that matrix, actually.
Yeah. And for someone doesn't understand what quantum field is, can you talk about that?
Well, I can. It's a very complex
Sorry.
We live in this multidimensional reality. This is what we were talking about earlier. So the quantum field, quantum is the very smallest minute particles that we are made of. So our atoms and our photons. What we live in this atomic and electromagnetic world. So I actually see this atomic and electromagnetic world. Okay, I see the sparkles of light and I see all of these things going on when I'm switched on. So we live in this world that is vibrating. These particles of light, photonic light, are actually vibrating at a very dense frequency, yes?
Yeah.
It's everything vibrates.
Yes.
That's what makes it solid. Yeah. So this is the world we live in. So when I'm talking about the quantum world, I'm talking about entering into a frequency that someone is experiencing. So let's say it's anxiety. That is a frequency. We know that is a dense vibrational frequency. It's a quantum frequency because it feels horrible.
Yeah.
We feel it. Our heavy stomach, heavy heart, you know, the head might hurt. So because I have an understanding of this quantum world, it's possible for me to actually go into that anxiety and shift it and make it lighter. I put light in there. I put more photonic light in there. That's what I do on a very basic level. Yeah. Actually, there's a lot more with time traveling and thing, timelines and all of this kind of thing. But on a very basic level, I go into something that's vibrating at a very dense frequency, anxiety, say, as I was saying, and I take that. It's possible to actually turn that vibration into a different frequency. Now, this isn't Reiki. I do teach Reiki, yeah? I teach Reiki and I marry it together with the quantum theory of how this all works. Yeah.
And I'll get to that in a moment, actually. I really want to cover off your role as a teacher as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that many people would say, oh, will you do Reiki? When I'm shifting these blockages and these dense feelings, whether it's pain or anxiety or trauma or whatever, this is not a channeling of light. It's literally changing the vibration that someone's feeling to such an extent that it's removed out of their field.
Yeah.
That's it, really. And I've been doing it for so long that it gets challenging to explain because it's come to the point where I embody it. It is part of who I am. I don't have to think about it or anything like this. It happens. And so when you were asking the question regarding clients, and I was saying how lovely it is to have someone like yourself who is consciously aware of what you're doing. Because you and I work together and we join our intention together to lighten the field, to lighten the load, it becomes very easy to make a shift. So it's not me personally on my own. It's because you, for instance, are open and willing to allow that to happen. Now, there may be times when it's not possible for that to happen. And those times are usually because there's a natural process also that people need to go through quite often. So the loss of a loved one. If someone's grieving, for instance, I wouldn't try to lighten their load and take away the grief of a mother passing or father or anything like that, or partner, because there is also a journey within that is part of the soul journey. And so I don't interfere. I might be able to lighten the load a little bit, but it would be it has become almost impossible to totally shift the grief that needs to be experienced as a human being. Yeah, that's a point, actually, because there's so many, the human being and the human experience is so incredibly complex that it's easy to say, excuse me, that we create our own reality, for instance, which to an extent we absolutely do. But we can't take away that we live within relationship, that we have this human journey, that our very soul has chosen to experience something here. And if the soul makes a choice to experience it, we're not going to create anything if the soul doesn't want to. We might waylay it a bit, or we might put off the moment for a moment, But actually, if the soul wants to experience it, it's going to experience it. So I perceive everything as you know, coming to some understanding of what is happening in the moment, what is the message, what is the learning within this experience. So yeah. We can get together and make a change. And then I also have clients who actually, on occasion, they don't want to. And that's okay too, actually. But what is possible for most people is to, I use a technique that can actually shift the neural pathways in the brain that can help to alleviate the memories that someone's holding on to and actually totally eliminate them at points.
Oh, wow.
So that can be of help to someone who's grieving.
I've got a few memories that I would like eliminated, please. just joking.
Yeah. No, but when we can, I've actually had clients with me and they've been going on and on. I listen. You see, this is a lot of my job is about hearing what someone is saying, really hearing. And I can hear them come back to this one place, regardless of what I say or do. So in those moments, with person's permission, that's when I would use that kind of technique to shift that thinking. Then I'll ask them, well, can you bring back that memory now? And more often than not, they'll say no, or it's more distance, or they can bring it back, it's distance, but they don't have a feeling about it. So, you know, those things. Mm. And that's why I said right at the beginning that each person that comes is, you know, my work is very much about the individual of each person that comes with their experience, their knowing, their gifts, all of this. Very personal.
Can you reverse that? So say I know myself that I have blocked out certain memories and I can't remember certain situations.
Right. Yes. I actually used to do clinical hypnotherapy. I don't very often do that anymore. Okay. And I used to have a lot of people come and ask, can I? I have a belief that if the psyche has blocked something out, it's for a reason. Mm. And coming from the background that I come from, fully aware of the abuse that happened, this is a personal feeling, is that if the psyche has blocked out memory, it is for a reason. Mm. And some things are best not remembered.
Yeah, like don't pick the scab off the wound, so to speak.
Something like that. We wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, the psyche is extremely intelligent. Mm. So I guess I haven't tried to reverse memories, but when I've had people come to me and say, oh, I feel like maybe I've had this happen to me in childhood, I've refused to go down that path with them.
Yeah.
I have, you know, recommended other colleagues, or we work in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sitting in the seat of a teacher, the work that you do, holding workshops or facilitating workshops, and you offer opportunities for people to go deeper into their own psychic or healing abilities. Can you talk about that?
Oh, I love that. That's my most favorite thing, actually, is teaching. So I use Reiki as a platform for introducing the deeper work, because Reiki has a very good foundation for people to start to understand and experience their own abilities as an intuitive, as a psychic, as a healer, an energy worker, I prefer to call it, really. So I use Reiki as a platform. And it's a bit controversial, or has been in the past, because I teach what I teach in 7 days. I do. I don't believe that there's all of this necessity to, you know, put, you know, your healing ability into, you know, wait 6 months and wait a year and then you can get the next information. Mm-hmm. So I do very short courses, very, very intense. Within that is learning about the quantum on a very simplistic level, the quantum field. And what I find and what I really love is every single person has their own way of doing it. So I teach people Reiki and then I ask them to let go of all the rules. There are no rules. You let go of the rules.
I love that.
And you really intuitively allow yourself to be guided, whether your hands are guiding you, whether there's your body's guiding you, whether it's your intuition, to really do what you're guided to do without any judgment. This is what's the challenge, because everyone judges. Am I doing it right? Is it this way? Mm. I find that people uncover these gifts that are just there, and everybody naturally, this is part of our human gifts, to be psychic, to be healers, to see other dimensions, to speak with spirits. This is part of, you know, what we're born with. We're trained not to perceive it anymore is what happens. So during these workshops, we uncover. So it's not just about teaching, it's about sharing, and people will come with, oh, this is happening to me. So we do some energy work with that. I love doing the workshops. But every single person uncovers who what they have to bring into this world. And I've had some top level corporate people, you know, who have let go of, and I'm not saying that this is necessary, but, you know, let go of their work, become Reiki teachers and Reiki practitioners, and gone on to explore other avenues, whether it's theta healing, and they've gone on to become energy workers, and because this has been their calling. So with the teaching, I mean, that is to spread the word for each person then to be able to go out. That's the other thing with Reiki. You can go out, you can teach others, you can really, you know, spread this whole consciousness movement further. The more people know, the more people learn, the more people get themselves into this, the more this spreads into the everyday collective, who are seen to be everyday, but they're not really. There's no person I've met that's not extraordinary.
Hmm. Yeah, I've been feeling the calling of tapping into my spiritual ability. This I know I'm highly intuitive and I do have a gift myself, but I just don't know how to develop myself. I don't know what modality to train in, and it's been, I've kind of put it on the back burner for now, just because I'm just consumed with so much of my life. My life is fairly full at the moment, but I have been feeling this calling, and I have planted the seed and put it out there to go, okay, I'm ready to step up and do this work.
Yes. Well, this is what's so interesting. The Reiki I do, as I said, because it's a good foundation and it's very quick to get out there. There's so many modalities. And in the end, it's all the same stuff. Yeah. Except that Reiki is about channeling energy, which is why I like to take it further into the quantum and give some other skills. There are many, many modalities out there that are possible to learn. But what I like about the Reiki is you can add on to it if you want, but it's not, in the end, hugely expensive. A lot of the modalities, otherwise you have to add this to become this certificate and that to become that certificate. And, oh, you can add that then, and then you can teach others. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking them. Business is business, and you know, the modalities are amazing and we all have to live. But there are, I feel, it's possible actually to intuitively feel into, and I think these things come to us when we're ready, actually. Yeah. Someone will say, oh, by the way, I'm going to a theta healing workshop or an access consciousness, and you go along, and the next thing you know, it's something you really love. But with the expansion of ability, I know really that this is not to be put in this specialized way. It's much more about who we are moment by moment and how we live and how we are with others. All of this, you know, as I said earlier, it was an example. I love my clients when I am with the client. Surprising to myself, I actually love that person. Would I love them socially? No. But would I want to do them harm? No, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't want to be rude to them or anything else, you know? So the expansion of our consciousness and our abilities comes in our everyday living. And it's really about following, learning to trust what we are intuitively picking up for ourselves first and foremost, and for others if they ask, but let's say ourselves. So that intuition that is so strong that it's a knowing, you know, all of these modalities are training grounds in some way, actually, for getting to know yourself better, for getting to trust yourself more. So, you know, we've all had those times when we have people going, "Are you crazy? Why are you going to do that?" But there's something in you that so absolutely knows that that's the place you need to go to, or that's the person who's you know, you're going to be with, regardless of what anyone says.
Yeah.
It's following that knowing rather than the external voice that we've been trained to follow, because we have been trained to always ask an external voice the answer. So all of these modalities are about developing our own inner knowing, our inner trust. And in that, what happens is that we start to really embody those abilities. And in that embodiment, it just expands. So synchronicity will happen, more coincidence. You start to know, and we've all had this, who's phoning you, or you know, you think of someone and they're knocking at your door. All of that starts to happen more and more.
Yeah.
And we've put this into this special box that, oh, this is a special ability, but actually it isn't a special ability. It is something we've been conditioned out of. It is really and truly the abilities that is our as I said earlier, it's a gift that humanity is born with. That humanity is incredibly powerful. Look at what we've created. It's chaotic.
Yeah.
Let's face it, human beings who've created this chaos. If we just put the energy into creating something beautiful, how amazing would this world be? So it's that, really, I believe, anyway.
Yeah.
Also, all of these modalities, if they're good modalities, will teach self-awareness in a way that is not rule-bound, that is not, you know, constantly giving yourself over to a higher power. I mean, I use guides. I see my guides and other people's, but I don't always listen to them. You know, they're there as guides. They're not dictators. That's why they're called guides. You know, but so many people would teach you, well, you must have this, you know, Reiki, for an example, the Reiki guide. Well, no, you don't actually. You hold this within yourself. The guides are going to be around for as long as you need them to be around and give them empowerment.
Mm. You
know? But they also have, I mean, they're very handy in healing sessions and things. It's really about uncovering yourself. So any good modality will be self-awareness, non-blaming, non-judgmental, not 101 rules that you have to follow. It will feel natural. It won't be a doctrine, because so many people have been indoctrinated into their way. It's free, isn't it? It's free to be who you are and express your authenticity in your way.
Yeah.
Not someone else's. I'm a guide to help someone. Yes, I can teach these techniques, but those techniques must be let go of if they don't serve you. And they must be let go of in order to get out of the box and truly, fully express your ability. Yeah. Does that all make sense?
So makes sense. I'm just, as you're speaking, I'm totally resonating to all that you are saying right now. I feel that so deeply.
Yeah, sorry, I knew that was a very long diatribe. I hope I've kept on topic there.
No, that's great. That's great. What have been some of, you know, your biggest obstacles in life, Sam?
Ooh. Not listening to my intuition. That's a definite one.
Oh, I think many of us can relate to that one.
Oh, darling, I'm a romantic, and this is a challenging one because I see, for so many years, as much as I'm an analyst and, you know, have this scientific stuff around, at the deepest levels I'm in my heart, I'm a romantic, I'm an idealist. I believe in the, you know, the best bits of human beings, unless they really shove it in my face that you know, they're not coming from that. So I guess that has been a challenge, to remain loving in my heart, to keep that idealism, and not become a cynic.
To keep
my sense of humor, because I'm naturally quite a serious person. My challenge is actually find a sense of humor sometimes. But yeah, it's not to become a cynic. And I guess, you know, now in this place that we're in this world, and as you know, I travel a lot, so I'm seeing the changes all over the world and how people are dealing with it. It's so freaking easy to become cynical.
Yeah.
Actually. Because, and it's also a challenge not to, you know, this battle of dark and light and putting in that dualistic nature, and rather feeding consciousness into a situation. And even in that, there's judgment, you know. There's so it's challenging not to judge, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know?
But I guess the biggest thing for me is probably something that most people would experience. It's relationship. You know, when I love, I love. I don't half love. I don't mess around. Not because I've got a judgment on that. If you can do that and you know, have fun, I think that's fantastic. But I personally don't go into relationship or any of that without giving myself fully.
Yeah.
And if I can't give myself fully in any relationship, that could be romantic and it can be friendship. If I find myself holding back, then there's either something
not being you.
Then I'm not being me, no.
Yeah.
And there's something telling me either that relationship's not right for me.
Yeah.
There's other agendas there. Or there's something in me that needs to allow myself to open. So I think relationship is the biggest thing, because humanity is relationship, isn't it? Whether it's, you know, the politicians that filter down their stupid bloody ideas nowadays into the community, or whether it's mother and child or love, or it's all about relationship to each other and relationship to our world, our environment. So yeah, that's the biggest challenge, not to become cynical and shut my heart and keep my heart open without becoming totally in despair of what's going on in this world. So it's the balance. So, you know, I have a course called Messages from the Soul, and it's very much about getting into the heart space. And what I do know from this and activating what is called the heart torsion field, I won't go into the science of it, but whatever. What I do know that is when we are in a space of love, it's actually a neutral place. It's not a feeling of high passion. Mm. It's not a feeling of, you know, despair. It's not, when our heart is open and we're in that place of love, it's actually quite neutral. It's a place of peace, actually.
It is. Yeah.
Yes. It's a place of peace, not drama. It's a place of being in acceptance, not necessarily agreeing with either. So I'm not saying in that accepting, just letting everything go kind of thing. But it's a place of acceptance in this moment. Yes. So that's really where, if I'm not in that place, then I know that I'm out of balance somehow.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm, but life's challenging. Let's face it, darling. Life is challenging.
Yeah, it is challenging. You know, they have it can be a roller coaster at times, but I do love life. I love the mystery of life.
Life is a mystery.
Yes.
Life is a mystery.
Yeah. I finally have made friends with the mystery of life.
Yes. For me, I guess this is, I was born wanting to know. I like to uncover the mystery, which is, I guess, also how I got to where I am now. Yeah. I like to uncover, but I have got to the point, you know, it's interesting you say that life's a mystery. I have got to the point that for all that I know and others know, that really we don't know. There's stories we tell ourselves. There are ways to explain things. And maybe those explanations will work and techniques or whatever. But actually, none of us really know.
Mm.
It is one great big mystery. And
that's right.
I think that the indigenous American Indians called the, you know, God the great mystery.
The big question mark.
Yes, it is. It is, yeah. A big question mark.
It is.
And, you know, talking about, you know, one of the biggest challenges, this has also been a very big challenge for myself, is when I came to the realization that actually there are so many ways of seeing this world, experiencing this world. There's so many explanations. It all ultimately, you know, leads to what I call mental masturbation, really. And, you know, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know. And I got a bit tired for a little while of trying to explain things, you know.
Mm.
So let's remain in the mystery, darling.
This yes. is the way.
Yeah. With an open heart.
Absolutely. Yes, and with so much gratitude.
With so much gratitude, but also within all of this is learning the discernment. You know, I'm saying open heart, but there are times we don't want to open our hearts, actually. We better not to.
Yeah.
It's discernment in this life is so important, and especially if you're on this path of consciousness, because there are so many, you know, the New Age has become a religion. There's so many rules that have been put upon people that I find so many of my clients in this place of self-punishment because they haven't done it right, or because they had a bacon sandwich yesterday, or whatever it may be. That really, for me, I mean, the biggest thing is freedom. It's time that we are able to freely express ourselves. There's always needs to be cultural and social decorum, otherwise there'd be craziness in this world, but it's possible to be free,
yes,
in who we are and allow others their freedom too. Yeah.
I feel all of that. And that's such a beautiful way, I think, to end our conversation today. We've covered so much. Like, it's such a pleasure to finally get you on the show and talk about the work that you do as a teacher, as a coach, as a spiritual being, shining your love and light to all those who have the opportunity to work with you and gravitate towards you. Yeah, I have so much gratitude and love for knowing that you're always there for me. You always show up for me. I know I can reach out for you, and you have, like I said earlier, you've been incredibly instrumental in helping me step up into my self-worth, my love and light is also, and really remove a lot of emotional trauma that I have had and baggage that had been weighing me down for a long time, and also helped in, you know, some relationship issues that I had as well. You were incredibly potent in enabling me to come back to myself. So for that, so much gratitude.
Oh, darling, I thank you so much for your words. You know, a lot of my love comes from people like yourself who are, you know, open and there and doing it, actually, and open to play. And I've absolutely loved talking with you and being given the opportunity to express what I love.
Yeah.
So thank you very, very much, my darling. Oh. Much, much appreciation.
Of course. Pleasure. And if people want to find you, I'll add all the details onto the show notes. I know you're not massive on social media, but I can add whatever information you would like me to put on the show notes so they can find you.
Oh, you're a darling. Well, my new website's going up tomorrow, actually.
Ah, perfect timing. Great.
And so that's www.sandrastyves, so the Saint Eves is STYVES .com.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I am on Instagram and Facebook and Sandra Saint Eves. And all the work that I do, well, most of it is there. And yeah, so thank you very much, my darling. Much
appreciated. Most welcome. Thank you.
And loads of kisses to you and to your audience. And you are a shining light, and it's beautiful that you are, you know, putting out the opportunity to hear other people and to listen to other people. It's a great gift, and it's needed in this world. So well done, my darling. Mm. Well done.
Thank you.
Shine your light. Keep shining your light.
I will.
Thank you, my darling.
Thank you. Amazing. Oh, I'm so glad I was able to get this episode out to you. I highly encourage you reach out to Sam, you know, connect with her. And if you do feel the calling to do some work with her, like, drop me an email. I want to hear all about it. You don't have to go into the nitty gritty, but I want to hear your feedback. And I know it will be just beautiful and amazing, because the people I have referred her way have all said to me, thank you so much, because she is a gem. She's very special, and it's hard to box her into this one thing, because she's many things to many people depending on why you go to her. And you know, there's always a reason why you gravitate to a healer, and she's like my one-stop shop, as I mentioned. She's everything. She such a special woman. I love it. Thank you so much, everyone. Can't wait to be back on the show soon. Lots of love. Mwah. Ciao.